Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Now, most adults cannot name any symptoms of blood cancer, despite it being the UK's third biggest cancer killer, according to a poll. Here to enlighten us from Blood Cancer UK, welcome to the show, Kate Kigley. How are you doing, Kate?
Thank you, Selena. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Nice to speak to you.
So, about 15,000, I was reading, people a year in the UK die of blood cancer. I didn't realise it was that high.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really devastating figure and one that keeps growing year on year. And actually, although so few people know about blood cancer, actually it kills more people in the UK than breast cancer or prostate cancer.
Wow.
But the awareness is incredibly low.
Yeah, which is why our conversation is so important. Somebody mentions blood cancer, I immediately think of leukemia, but it's more than that, isn't it?
Yep, you're right. It does include leukemia. And I think many people, when they hear leukemia, think just of children. But actually, leukemia affects people of all ages. Blood cancer also includes conditions such as leukemia. So you have non-Hodgkin's or Hodgkin lymphoma, myeloma. And also other conditions, there are over 130 different types of blood cancer, and the names are often very long, very complicated, and sometimes somebody's given their specific condition but haven't been told that that condition is a type of blood cancer.
Wow.
So again, even people who have been diagnosed with a type of blood cancer, they're not aware and therefore don't necessarily seek the support that's available to somebody with a blood cancer.
Yeah, I'm sure. So what symptoms are we looking out for?
So symptoms is an interesting question, because there are, unlike something like prostate cancer or breast cancer, there isn't just one symptom, not one clear symptom. There are lots of different symptoms, and things such as weight loss that you can't explain, bruising or bleeding that you don't know where that's come from, shortness of breath, or infections that are persistent and don't go away, rashes or itchy skin, pain in your bones, or a tiredness or fatigue that doesn't improve with rest or with sleep. I think you can probably tell that some of those things, everybody might experience one or two of those, might be every day, every month, just for kind of because of life or because of getting older. But actually, if you pull all of those symptoms together, there are a number of things that could identify blood cancer, but could also be many other things as well. So identifying blood cancer is one of the most, is a difficult challenge for GPs.
Yeah,
stage, as well as for people experiencing them themselves.
Well, the first thing I thought, to be honest, Kate, when you said fatigue, fever and breathlessness, is you probably think it was COVID-19, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things that we're very concerned about at the moment, is that people experience these things, get a COVID test. If that's negative, maybe they don't think any more of it. So we're finding, particularly at the start of the pandemic, but still now, that people aren't thinking, could this be something else? Should I go to my GP? Should I just check in and see what that might be? And I think GPs are similarly not necessarily thinking blood cancer, because there's so much news around COVID-19. So we found that actually people, so we at Blood Cancer UK, we have a support service for anybody who is worried or has any concerns about blood cancer. But we found during the pandemic, actually, the number of people coming through to us with signs and symptoms and just wanting to talk that through has almost plummeted at the start of the pandemic. We had very, very few people coming to us with those types of inquiries. The service generally increased significantly with people who wanted to talk about COVID-19, which was very understandable, but much less around signs and symptoms. And that's followed through with the number of referrals actually from a GP through to a haematology department, where they would, if somebody did have blood cancer, they would get their diagnosis at that stage.
Yeah. I think the problem is as well is that people haven't wanted to venture out to hospitals or the GP because of COVID-19. People are a bit scared to go out, aren't they? Well, they have been, not so much now.
Absolutely. And I think that is something that, because blood cancer it impacts your immune system, actually people with blood cancer are at higher risk from COVID because they're less able to produce antibodies to fight off the infection, even after actually two doses of the vaccine. So our concern, a huge concern for us, is that actually there are people out there who don't know they've got blood cancer because they haven't been to the GP and are actually at higher risk of COVID but don't know it, so can't take decisions to manage this risk because they don't know it's there. That causes a huge concern. So that's why it's so important that people recognise the symptoms of blood cancer, go to the GP, and really ask, could this be blood cancer? And in the unlikely occasion that it is, they are able to get diagnosed quicker to improve outcomes from treatment.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Is it easy to treat if it's caught early enough?
So certainly there is benefit for many blood cancers if it's diagnosed earlier. For those blood cancers who need treatment, the earlier that you're able to provide that treatment, the better the outcomes are for people. And what we've seen actually is that as we're starting to as the referral rates through to haematology are getting back to what they were previously, we're finding that people, because they haven't presented earlier, are presenting at a later stage. So the treatments that they're given, you know, hopefully still will be successful, but the chances of that successful outcome are lowered if you for many blood cancers if you catch it later on.
And is the treatment what we often hear with other cancers, as in chemotherapy, radiotherapy?
Yes, that's right. So chemotherapy and radiotherapy are absolutely types of treatment for blood cancers. Some people will have, for certain types of blood cancer, a more intense treatment called a stem cell transplant, where somebody's immune system is essentially replaced either by their own cells or from a donor individual. But there are some types of blood cancer that actually don't aren't treated immediately. Some of the more chronic types of blood cancer undergo a pathway called watch and wait, where actually from diagnosis they're not treated until because the condition develops very slowly, they're not treated until the condition is at a stage where actually treatment will provide more benefit than not. So there's a variety of different ways of managing a type of blood cancer, but each of those comes with its own impacts for the individual who's experiencing that, be it physical or be it emotional and psychological.
And can it be genetic, Kate?
So there are a very small number of blood cancers which we've identified a link, a familial link. And although for the majority of blood cancers, we don't know actually what causes it, but it's often down to a mutation within the DNA of a gene that means somebody will go on to develop blood cancer. So not often something that's passed down. But the more research we're doing into blood cancers, the more that we're understanding how those genetic mutations happen. And the research that we're doing, a lot of the research that we're doing, is looking at how we can actually stop that process from happening before it goes on to become a blood cancer and impact somebody's physical health.
I'm just looking at your website, bloodcancer.org.uk. Obviously, you've got research on there, understanding blood cancer.
Yeah.
You mentioned the support service. It's all great. Can we get involved if somebody wants to sort of help with Blood Cancer UK?
Yes, absolutely. So anybody is welcome to use any of our services. So if anybody has a concern or a question about blood cancer, then our support line number is 0808 2080 888. You can call us at any time of the day, or email us, or use our online community forum. And actually, the community forum is made up of a network of people affected by blood cancer who share experiences and share ways of coping and things that help them. And actually, if anybody, the more people who are on there and the more conversations that are happening, increases the likelihood of somebody meeting somebody else who's actually going through something very similar to themselves. So please do join that if anyone's affected. There's obviously, as a charity, we rely on public funding to allow us to invest in our support services, but really importantly, our research as well, which is the way that we believe as an organisation, as a charity, we will beat blood cancer in our generation. And so if anyone wants to donate, they're very welcome to. Also, look at here opportunity as well.
That's brilliant news. Let's hope we can eradicate it. So that's bloodcancer.org.uk. There's lots of information on there. Kate, thanks so much for sharing some of this on the show. It's very important, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having me on.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.